Okay.
Mitzag topic. Reshit Mechad Veloteinu, the time of Yoshio.
Okay.
And the background for Korban Bayit Rishon, November
2nd.
First day of this month, or of regular time.
Okay.
Probably Gimel or Dalet, Cheshvan.
That's
why he's wrong. I've seen. Okay, let me turn mine on, and we'll start.
Do you need anything?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. And we hope all. Today we should have everyone more rested. A little bit. It should be 9 o'clock. It should be 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. The topic we're starting today, and all the material I started giving you already, you can see it's more than we can do in 1 hour. This will take a couple of shiurim, and we're going to have the same problem we had with Chizkiel. We're going to start something, and probably end up somewhere in the middle. I want to try and present the overall picture in the first year, and then we have to see the details inside in your mail later on. Ask of almost anyone, what's the reason for the Korban Bayit Rishon? What's the classic answer? The big three, as opposed to Bayit Sheni, Shinat Chinam. Everyone, one of the sources we're going to do today is in Masechet Yoma, that talks about that. We're going to see that's another classic statement that Chazal were right on the mark when they say it, but when you don't understand Sefer Melachim, you don't appreciate what they're saying and how misleading that statement is. Because we're going to see that's not going to be the reason for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash in the time of Yirmiyahu. We're going to start with that very soon. Before that, I want to simply set the framework for what we're going to do today. We're going through Sefer Melachim, and we're towards the end already. And the last time period we saw was Chizkiel. And the time period of Chizkiel, the main point we tried to get across was that for all intents and purposes, the time period of Chizkiel, the middle of his reign, as far as the first monarchy is concerned, is the end of Bayit Rishon. We use that to explain why Yishayahu has so many nevuot of Nechama. The background, why would Yishayahu talk about Nechama, comfort, and returning from exile and rebuilding Yerushalayim and the cities of Yehuda? Because if you look at how things began in the life of Yoshiel, the life of the prophet Yishayahu, when he began his career in the reign of Uziel, that's why we had that sine wave, in the time period of Uziel, things were so good. The monarchy was doing great. They were united. We had our borders more than done to Beersheba. We were a superpower. We were prosperous. And things were really going well. And then all the big Nevi'im, Yishayahu, Hosea, Amos, Micha, what Chazal called the four Nevi'im, they come with a message, if you don't improve your behavior, God's going to bring Ashur, and then you're going to lose everything. That was the main topic that we did in the last several shiurim. Finally, we get to Chizkiel. Ashur finally became the superpower, like the Nevi'im predicted. Ahaz was bad, he rebelled against God. Chizkiel changed the policy. And he decided to do tremendous tshuva, and that was the last topic which we did in detail. And even though Chizkiel did tremendous tshuva and returned to God, it was a bit too late, and it wasn't enough, and it wasn't in the right direction. It was tshuva and building the Mikdash and bringing Korbanot, but it wasn't enough in the society they were building. And the Korban came anyhow, except Yerushalayim was saved at the last minute. That's where we ended up, and we tried to explain why that was a difficult situation. We're going to have a very similar pattern after Chizkiel, the time period of Menashe, which we'll begin with today. I don't think we discussed Menashe yet, did we? I don't think we got to Menashe yet. Okay, he's interested not here, so I don't. So I can get away with whatever I want. I could have started with Europa. No one would have noticed. We're going to start today with Menashe because the time period of Menashe is going to be key to understanding what happens now. I'll explain the title and then we'll get in detail. What I want to show you in today's shir is the time period of Yoshiel. I'm going to title it Reshit Tzmichat Golotenu. I'm going to try and explain why. Why did the people in the time period of Yoshiel, who was a very good king, probably the best of all of them, according to the Navi, the best king of them all, why is it that even though he does tremendous tshuva, it's not enough to stop the Qurban, and the Qurban happens anyhow? The background to appreciate what's happening is what happens in the time period of Menashe. What I want to show you is that during the reign of Menashe, could be viewed, what happened during the reign of Menashe, the sins that he does, and what happens to Yisrael can be viewed as the end of Bayit Rishon in another sense. And the Gzar Din of Korban, God's decision, the Bayit Rishon is over, happens in the time of Menashe. In the first part of the share, I want to show you that the famous Gemara in that everyone quotes in Masechet Yoma, that talks about the reason for the Churban HaBayit Rishon, is not talking about the time period of Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel and Yoshiel. It's talking about the time period of Menashe. We'll explain why. In fact, it says so why. And that background will appreciate what's happening in the book of Yirmiyahu and at the end of Sefer Melachim. How could it be that Yoshiel is such a good king and it's not enough to stop the Churban? So we're going to start with Perek, Melachim Bet Perek of Allah. Is there an extra one around? I'm not finding the class. But we're okay. In Melachim Bet Perek Chaf-Alef, we won't need nothing too much there. Melachim Bet Perek Chaf-Alef, we had the reign of Chizkiel, and everyone probably remembers the Gemara in the Masechet Sanhedrin, that Chizkiel didn't want to have children. Remember that's the famous one, in Perek Achelek? And if the Torah tells you, don't talk, and you ask him, how come you don't want to have children, because I saw he's going to be a bad king, and God says, Banikash Rahman Alamala, you don't do the Cheshmas of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have a mitzvah pru or roof. You have to do that. Let the Kadosh Baruch Hu run things. And indeed he has a child, King Menashe. And Menashe is not such a very good king, to say the least. In fact, he makes it to the list of the four kings who don't have Cherek B'Olam Haba. And also you have to learn the Cherek HaCherek. It's all built on the psukim we're going to see today.
He obviously had him later in life if Menashe was 12 when he became king.
He had him, yeah, for sure. For sure it was later in life. In fact, it happened after God said you're going to die. Then he had the kid afterwards. So let's begin with Melachim Bet, Perek Chaf-Alef. He's only 12 years old when he's king. I think he's the king longer than about any other king. 52 years is a long reign. You can already see the problem that Navi has. How could it be that the worst king of them all is king more years than anybody else? It doesn't make sense. If someone's bad should be punished, how could it be that the reign of the king who was the worst was the longest? Number, but look at the headline of how he explains why. Why that phrase? He's as bad as the Tolavot of the nations that God got rid of because of the Bnei Yisrael. What's that be referring to? What's he setting up? Remember, who wrote Sefer Melachim? Yirmiyahu. What I've been trying to show you is one of the main reasons for Sefer Melachim being written is not just to tell you what happened, but to explain why the first Beit HaMikdash is being destroyed. Yirmiyahu was a Nabi who witnessed the destruction and forecasted it, tried to prevent it. And here he's already hinting, why is it that we're losing the land? Because his behavior is worse than the nations that we kicked out to take over the land. What in Chumash is he referring to? What parsha in Chumash is he referring to? Why dafka the word kitzvot ha'goyim asher orish ha'shem ibn b'nei Yisrael? It's in Perek Yudchet Nachremot, where it begins with, we read it in Yom Kippur. Remember Yom Kippur at Mincha? Read the book after Yonah? Anyone who was made it back in time for Kriyat HaTorah. And there it said, how it begins, if you take a look at the beginning of Perek Yudchet, how it begins is important. It says, K'maseret mitzvayim asher shabtem lo tatsu, K'maseret kanan, asher ne'im nivyit chan shama lo tatsu, v'chum chiteyem lo tedaychum. Don't act like the Egyptians and don't act like the Egyptians and don't act like the Canaanites the land bringing to. Then we get a list of behavior that we can't do. The list of the Arayot, which we're familiar with. And when the Arayot are over, in Pasuk HaDavad, we summarize and say, all these are the toivot that the nations that I'm taking, that these nations did, hetzadei behave, and the reason why I'm kicking them out is because that's their behavior, and if you act that way, I'll kick you out as well. Remember, v'lo tiki etchem v'tamachem otel kashay kata gosher asher nifnechem. Don't let the land kick you out like you kicked out the nations who are there now, who I'm kicking out because of you. The logic behind it is simple. The only reason we have the land isn't because it belongs to us. It belongs to God, according to Sefer Vayikra, for sure. Ki li kol ha'aretz. And God sets aside the land of Israel for his nation to be a place where they represent God. But if they're doing a lousy job representing God, God says, I have no choice but to throw you out because you're doing a chilul Hashem. That's the theme throughout Nevi'im, Rishonim, and Achronim. Therefore, when he explains Menashe, He explains the behavior in the time of Menashe is worse than the nation that God kicked out because of us.
Is this phrase in the other kingdom? Usually it says you did bad just like your father did.
Yeah, this is, I think, unique to, I'm pretty sure it's unique to this section here. It might be later on when we get towards the end, when we get to Hizkiyahu and Yehoyakim, but for sure, up until now, it's the first time. And Pasuk Gimel, V'yashav Eidein et ha-bamot asher yidei Hizkiyahu aviv. Remember, Hizkiyahu got rid of the bamot. He went and rebuilt them, but then we go from bad to worse. V'yashav mitzvachot labal, v'yashav asherah kasher asah achav melech Yisrael, v'yashtachavu lechot tzva ha-shamayim, v'yavod otam. Remember what Menashe does? Baal, asherah, not just bamot, baal, asherah, what else was there? Lechot tzva ha-shamayim. The place which was supposed to be a mikdash, making a name for God, is now a name for all these other idols. And he built mizbechot lechot tzva ha'shamayim, b'shtei chasor b'et Hashem, v'ebrev b'no v'esh, onei b'nechesh, asa'o b'yidoni, v'ebal asot tola b'nei Hashem l'achis. That's classic Yirmiyahu going back to Dvarim. If you look back in Parashat Yotzei and Dvarim, that's a whole list of things that you can't do. Also with the word toivot and the same idea. And he put the Pesach HaShirah in God's house, the place that God chose to put his name there. And God promised, I wouldn't destroy you if you follow my laws. And then we'll summarize, In the summary, we have the exact same point. Menashe did worse than all the other kings, and yet worse than all the other nations that God got rid of because of Bnei Yisrael. He's worse than the Amorites. Why is the Navi using the word Amori? But why Dafke Amori? Also with this week's Parsha. Repent of Tarim. What's that guy's Baruch Hu say? Why do we have to wait 400 years? So using the word Amori, Avon Hamori, I think relates to the topic in Repent of Tarim. And we finished the Parshia, but what are we expecting? When you get a yelling out like that from your parents when you were young, what's coming next? What's the kind of, I got yelled at. What's going to be the price we have to take for what happened? And that's going to be in Pasuk Yudbet. Pasuk Yudbet, have it? Lachem komar Hashem el ha-Yisrael. Hinni mivira al Yerushalayim Yehuda asher kol shom'ah titzan ha-shtei oznav. I'm going to bring something bad to Yerushalayim or destruction. Anyone who hears about it, his ears are going to tingle. Tingle or, what's the word? It's going to ring. Does that phrase sound familiar? Anyone in Chidon should know that. Where do we have a story where anyone who hears this news, his ears are going to ring? Akel kol shama, titzan lo shteos nav. Shteos nav. Doesn't it ring a bell anywhere? And I'll give you one. It's related to the Haftarah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. I should help already. What did we read the first day? Remember? It's a story of the birth of Shmuel. What's the first nevuah that Shmuel receives? Take a look at it. In Shmuel Aleph Er Gimel. Eli was a leader beforehand, and Shmuel didn't realize he's getting nevuah. And there's a beautiful contrast between Shmuel and Eli. What's he referring to? The story of the Aron being taken, Chofni of Pinchas, Bnei Eli is going to be killed, Amishel is going to lose in battle, Eli is going to die. Remember the first Nebuah of Shmuel? That's the end of the Tzkufa of Bnei Eli and the beginning of the Korban. Later on, we're going to see in Yirmiyahu when he complains about to the people who think that the Beit Hamikdash can't be destroyed. What does he bring as a proof? Kishilo yabayt hazeh. Now we'll appreciate it. So it's going to be a big question: can the Beit Hamikdash be destroyed? The precedent is going to be what happened to Shiloh. There'll be an argument among the people, among the prophets: is it really possible for Beit Rishon to be destroyed? They didn't call Beit Rishon; they called it Habayit. But we're going to get at almost every single korban begins, if you follow Jewish history. Whenever there's a consensus among the people that Korban blank lo yeh, that's usually what brings the Korban. What brings the Korban of Beit Rishon is this feeling it can't be destroyed. Everyone knows the end of Beit Sheni, the whole movement at the end, the whole revolt, etc. there's the feeling that Chubat Sheni lo yeh. And if you want an example, that type of feeling, you have another very similar approach today where Chubat Shishi lo yeh. That doesn't help. We hope that it won't be. But the overconfidence that's brought in the thing that Chuban can happen often leads to trouble. Now, Pasuk Yud Gimel. We'll go back now to Pasuk Yud Gimel on Yemelachim Bet Chavala. But a detail you sign the cups from Rome that Mishkovet Beit Achav, Machit Yet Yushan Kashim Chet Atzrachet Macha Vapach Apanea. Just like what I did to Shomron, just like what I did to the Northern Kingdom, just like their center was destroyed, the same thing can happen to Yerushalayim. Just like happened to Shomron, it's going to happen now to Yehuda. That was left, Yehuda, that was left from this, after the 10 tribes, God can abandon them, and the Tati Biyad Rechayim, or you Levaz and Shisal, the Chore Zahim. Yana Shasu et Harab Enei Hashem, or you Machasim Otim Yin Hayom Asher Yasu Abotam Yin Mitzrayim Ad Yom Azeh. Why? Because they've been getting me angry since the time of the Egypt. It's not one event. This is the culmination of the seven events. Begam Dam Naki Shavach Men Asher Beim Od, Ad Asher Mileit Yushayim Telefeh, Levaz Mechasa Shechit Yisrael Asot Harab Enei Hashem. It's not only Abu Rezala, but also Shvichu Damin. Dam Naki in the time of now, to a vote, if I want to get the big three, we have Shvichud Damin, don't we? Avodah Zarah we have. The word to a vote is right up front. In what context do we have the word to a vote in Vayikra? To a vote or Darayel. So if you're looking for the reason for the Churban HaBayit Rishon, you have them all here. Hilo Arot, Shvichud Damin, Avodah Zarah. The key point now is that the Gdar Din of Churban, I think we should read one more pasuk. Then he dies and his son Amon takes over. The key point which we have to learn from Derech of Allah is that the Gzar Din of Korban, a Bayit Rishon, happens in the time of Menashe. It's black on white. God's decision, the Bayit Rishon is over, happens in the time of Menashe. We're talking about Menashe is about 690 to 640 BCE. Give or take, if you follow the dates. But we're talking almost 100 years before the Qurban. Not 100, about 80 years before the Qurban. Depending, we're from the time of Menashe we count. From the death of Menashe until Qurban HaBayit. When Menashe dies, till Qurban HaBayit is going to be 50, 60 years. But the Gzardin of Qurban is the time of Menashe. It's decided, it's done. But what doesn't happen in the time of Menashe? The Qurban. We have to figure out why. What's going to happen several years later, after Amon, we get to Yoshiel. Amon's king for 2 years. Yoshiel is going to be a really good king. Yoshiel is going to do tshuva like we never saw before. And we're going to have a movement of, in the time period of Yoshiel, where the people returning to God, things are growing again, the country's doing beautifully, religiously, economically, politically. And the people are going to be sure that the worst is over. We're past this Gzardin. And that's going to help us explain Rishit Simechat Golatenu. There's going to be a feeling in the time period of Yoshiel that the worst is over. And now things can only get better. And that's going to be the background to understand the book of Yirmiyahu and the reason for the Qurban. So what I want to do in the first part of the show is simply lay out where we're going. And now you appreciate the difficulty that Yirmiyahu and Yechetzer are going to have to explain to the people the reason for the Qurban. Because they're sure that everything's doing good. And they're great. The next thing we have to do is read the story of Yoshiel, but we have one more thing we have to read first. In the parallel Prakim of Divrei Yamin, look at Divrei Yamin Bet, Perek, and it's probably Lamed Gimel. In Perek Lamed Gimel, we have this almost identical story about Menashe in the first 9 Sukkim. Look how it begins. Take a quick look, you'll see it's exactly the same. That's bad, it's about going. The indictment is almost identical. The indictment's almost exactly the same. And then we'll skip right to Pasuk Tet. Vayeta Menashe Yehuda Yoshvei Yushraim Nasot Ra Min HaGoyim Asher Hishmin Hashem Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. The same phrase, the same idea. And then Pasuk Yud Vayedaber Hashem El Menashe Ve'Alamo Ve'Lo Yikshivu. And now it's going to change. Listen how Divrei Yamin tells about what happened to Menashe. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ve'yavei Hashem aleihem et sarei hatzava asher lemelech Ashur. Who comes in fact to Yerushalayim in Yehuda in the time of Menashe? the officers, the generals of Ashur, the army comes. Vayikudu et menashe v'chochin, vayithru v'nechushtayim, vayivichayu b'vela. That's a detail that almost no one ever knew before, correct? Ashur comes, takes over Yerushalayim, takes over the city, takes the king, and sends the king in exile, and the words that the Tanakh uses here are identical to the words that we have when Tzidkiyahu goes into exile. The same thing, vayivichayu b'vela, v'nechushtayim. Now, b'vela means, it's Melech Ashur, what's b'vela mean?
Was,
we read this week's parsha. Bavel was the name of Mesopotamia. Okay? He went towards Bavel, but Bavel didn't take over yet. But the Navi describes it here in a lashon which reminds us of Korban Bayit Rishon. Now, if I want to try to define this as a time period of Korban, what do we have? Do we have Korban Beit HaMikdash here? Who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash here? Menashe did. We don't need God to destroy it. Menashe destroyed it with all the idol worship. For all intents and purposes, the Beit HaMikdash is over. It's not a Makom of Avodat Hashem. It's a Makom of Avodat Zarah. The king went into exile. Ashur took over our country. The 10 tribes are gone. The little bit we had left over from the time of Hizkiah, we lost it all. And it's very easy to understand this time period as the end of Bayit Rishon. We have every element we need to consider the Korban again. Putting yourself in that time period. Now watch what happened. Manasseh is in exile. Watch what happens next. Pasuk Yud Bet. Uchatzer lo, chilat p'nei Hashem Elohav, v'aykenam mo'od m'pnei Elohei Avotav. In exile, in Bavel, he finally starts doing a little bit of tshuva. And he turns and prays to God. In Masechet Avodah Zarah, when they talk about, in Masechet Sanhedrin, when they talk about the four kings who don't have chilek b'olam haba, they bring this question about Manasseh. Did Manasseh do tshuva or not? So they say, they bring the psukim from here to prove that Manasseh did the tshuva. Was enough to be out of the list of the bad kings who don't have chelek b'olam haba, that they argue. But they bring a question from here, because Menashe does do tshuva. Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'yitpalel elav, v'yater lo, v'yishma tchinoto, v'yishivyo Yerushalayim l'malchuto, v'yida Menashe ki Hashem Elohim. Sounds pretty good. Menashe returns, he prays to God, God answers his prayer, and Menashe returns. ואחרי כן בנה חומה חיצונה לעיר דוד, מערבה לגיחון בנחל ולבוא בשאר הדגים, סבב לאופר ביגביה, מאוד, ואת המצורי אחר בכל הרים הבצורות ביהודה. He returned, fixed this up, עיר דוד again. Recently they found in the excavations in עיר דוד, they've been thinking like crazy there later, they found a wall past the גיחון, to the west of the גיחון, some people think it's relating to here, next time you go to עיר דוד. Ask them to show it to you. But we see from here, Menashe rebuilds Yerushalayim and starts going in the right direction. Even gets rid of the idol worship that he put in the city. They're still doing Bamot, but they're not doing Avodah Zarah. Remember, Avodah was Avodah Hashem, it wasn't as bad as Avodah Zarah. V'yata Dibrei Ben Hashem, Tfilato Elohav, V'Dibrei Achotim, Hamedabrim Elav, B'Shem Hashem Elohei Yisrael, Hinam Al Divrei Malchei Yisrael. What's really neat here, we see for sure that there were Nevi'im in that time period. Not one Navi, the Nevi'im Achronim, has a title saying there was a Navi in the time of Menashe. We have the whole list of kings in the time of Yishayel, Uziyel, Achaz, Yotam Achaz, Chizkiyah, Malchei Yehuda. It doesn't mention Menashe. Chazal explained why. Chazal claimed that Menashe killed Yishayel. But there's not one Navi who wants to associate himself with Menashe. But we see for sure that there were Navim in that time period. Why are the details? I guess here the Navi is referring to the books, like Malchei Yisrael, including Malchei Yehuda, in general. Remember, this is written in the time of Bayit Sheni, so we're looking back. Now, that question on top of that, Why are these details in Divrei Yamim and not in Sefer Melachim? So Divrei Yamim, I think, do we ever do the shir on that? We never did why Divrei Yamim is different than Melachim? Okay, that's a check that out. I'll just give the bottom line of it. Divrei Yamim was written during the Second Temple period. Way after Melachim. And whenever Sefer Melachim says, the end of Divrei HaMelech, Ha'loim Tuvim is Sefer Divrei Yamim, it's not referring to our Divrei Yamim, for sure not. The Divrei Yamim that they're referring to, it's an official chronicles of the kings that was around at the time period. Many Nevi'im quote from that book. If I need to know, if Yirmiyahu needs to know how old a king was when he started to reign, and the name of his mother in the official years of his reign, he doesn't need to receive that in a prophetic vision. He can look it up in the library. And often, a Navi, in Sefer Melachim, the Navi quotes from Divrei Hayamim. And therefore, if we're going to find a discrepancy between a date or a name, or the name of a mother, the amount of years between Divrei Hayamim and Melachim, it's not a problem of discrepancy between the Nevuot. It's simply, each Navi is quoting a different source. You can have different sources about how long the king was king for, especially when some kings overlap, sometimes they make the king through the reign of his father. And the official record, you can have an argument over it. You have those problems to this day. Therefore, you have to be so surprised that you find Sirot between Divrei Hayamim and Melachim. But each book has an agenda. The main reason the Sefer Yirmiyahu is written by the Sefer Melachim is written by Yirmiyahu is to explain why the Korban took place, why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and who to blame it on. He's the Navi of Korban. In Bayit Sheni, when they're writing Divrei Hayamim, the main goal is to rebuild Yerushalayim in Yehuda and rebuild the Mikdash. And we're getting a selected history of the first temple period in order to inspire the people of the second temple period to learn from the good things and bad things that they did in Bayit Rishon. But the focus of Divrei Hayamim is the Mikdash, as opposed to Sefer Melachim, the focus is more on the kings. In Sefer Melachim, it's the reason for the Korban. In Divrei Hayamim, it's inspiration to rebuild Bayit Sheni. That explains why we have more details here about rebuilding the Mikdash and fixing it, and the Tshuva in the Temple of Menashe. That's not, you know, doesn't need to mention this because it doesn't fit into its theme. Neither book is pure history. And they're not hiding anything, because the assumption of the Nevi'im here, when someone reads these books, they have the full history. They can look it up in Divrei Hayamim L'Malchei Yehuda. Here I'm selectively quoting from those sources in order to make my point, my prophetic point, in the book. For us, reading this information is helpful for us because we see that even though things were almost done in the time of Menashe, they start getting better. At least towards the end of his life. The problem is, after he dies, the son Amon takes over. The beginning of Perek Lamed Dalet. I'm sorry, the end of Perek Lamed Gimel. In Divrei Hayamim, we'll read it. You can read it in Melachim as well. Pasek Chavala. Perusim Hashem Shana Amon B'mocho, Ushtayim Shanim Melach B'Yushalayim, V'yatara B'nei Hashem Kasher Asa Menashe Avi, V'lecho P'salim Asher Asa Menashe Avi, V'zibach Amon B'Yavdin. The second Amon took over, what was his policy? Just like his daddy was before he did Tshuva. It seems like Menashe did Tshuva at the end of his life. It seems that it was Tshuva done by the king, officially, but the people really weren't behind it so much, and as soon as the son took over, we went back to the good old ways. That pattern will be important.
When did Babel replace Ashur?
609, about, not till...
So after when Ashur was
dead. Yeah, in fact, your question will be the main point of this year. I mean, what's going to happen now, Ashur destroys Menashe, but the empire of Ashur begins to fall at the end of Menashe and the beginning of Yoshio. As Yoshio comes into reign, there's a vacuum where Ashur is falling, Ninveh is falling. Their empire is crumbling. We don't know yet who's going to take over, and it's not clear who's taking over. It turns out that Babel takes over. But there's a big hope that Babel won't take over, and that no one will take over. In fact, maybe we'll take over. That's why I have the map. And there's going to be this feeling that the worst is over, and now you understand where we're going to reach Yishmi Chazgul Latino? When we get to Yoshio, it's in the background that we've been subservient to Ashur for the last 100 years. And they're finally off our neck. They're out. And there's this feeling that maybe things are better again. Korban Bayit Rishon is over. We're in Bayit Sheni. What nevuot inspire them? All the nevuot of Nechama, of Yishayahu, of Hosea, of Micha, who saw the Korban, also foresaw return, there's a feeling that maybe things will get better. It's in that background you have to understand to appreciate the tension between the Nevi'im, like Yirmiyahu, and the people. Now, what happens there at the end is also a little scary. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, in Lamed Gimel Chaf Gimel. V'lo nichnam lifnei Hashem ki kana Menashe aviv ki hu amon hiba ashma. He didn't do tshuva like his father Menashe did. He continued in the ways of his father. He followed Menashe Aleph, not Menashe Bet. And he continued to sin just like his father did before he did tshuva. And he didn't do tshuva. Because of that, the vigilantes, I see, I'm called the Minachavim, no, they got really angry. What do? Like Shua Lab Abadav, I mean too, but they don't. He gets assassinated. Shouldn't be recorded. I'm not making any statement that people should do things like that, but I'm pointing out that things like that happened in the past. That there's a group of people not happy with the king's behavior and he's assassinated. The Aku Am Artis at the Koshima Lamela Khamon, But the Am Aretz are not the stupid people. That you realize in the time of Tanakh, the Am Aretz are the landowners. The Am Aretz are an important people, and they're going to be not so friendly to Am Aretz. These Am Aretz are going to be the people, we'll see, they're going to come up a lot in later on in Malachim. The Am Aretz is a political group, and what do? They go and hit or attack those people who assassinated the king. They call the Koshim Alamelech Amon, and Lichwet Aretz at Yoshiel Beno Sachtav. And they made Yoshiel his son instead of them. We'll see in a minute, Yoshiel is only 8 years old, which makes sense because I'm only reigning for 2 years. And when you put an 8-year-old in charge, what's that mean? Who's in charge? Who's in charge? The Am Aretz, the people made him king, they put him in charge. And what policy did they follow during the early years of Yoshiel? The policies of Amon. You understand why? 8 years, he's not going to run the country yet. Now watch what happens in Peres Lamedalas. Bechvona Shanim Yoshiel B'mokol. He's 8 years old when he becomes king, and he's king for 31 years. He's one of the best. Now we're going to get a year-by-year detail of key events in his life. Bishmona shanim b'mochol, v'hu adenu nar, hechel lidrosh l'elohei David aviv, u'b'shtemisay shana hechel l'teret Yehuda v'yushan min abamot v'ashrim v'apsidim v'amasichot. These are details that we don't find in Sefer Melachim. But it's critical to understanding Malachim and understanding Yirmiyahu. In the eighth year of his reign, he's still a nar, means he's still young, he's still a teenager. He began to search God. How old is he now? 16. He's 16. He goes to Yeshiva Tikhoni. Goes to MTH. I don't know what yeshiva he went to, but he gets the right Rebbe. Most likely his Rebbe is going to be Yirmiyahu or someone similar. He begins to lead Rosh Hashanah Le'aviv. In the 12th year of his reign, what did he begin to do? He begins to clean out the Avodah Zarah that Amon reinstituted. Now, how old is he now? He's 20. He finished high school. He's at college kid age. He's starting to do reform. And the reform that he does is he cleans up the Avodah Zarah and gets things moving. Now, what famous story does everyone know about Yoshiel? When they find a Sefer Torah, what year is that? That's going to be year 18. 6 years before they find a Sefer Torah. That'll be the next topic. And that's when the big Shuvah begins. 6 years beforehand, Yoshiel is going to do Shuvah on a national level, and he's going to get rid of all the idol worship. Listen carefully now to the description of what he gets rid of. Because this information is key to understanding Yirmiyahu. Pasuk Talit. The verbs that we're using here are from where in Chumash? To Rishon. Remember? No, in Re'eh. Remember Re'eh?
Yeah.
I'm going to end. Vibaretemet, I'll have to begin. Start for me. Ketem, Zubakore. Or you can take that. Take a look. Very good bet. Beginning of very good bet in Devarim. He's definitely fulfilling. Yeah, it takes a look in Devarim his bet. Keep the chukim mishpatim. You have to keep the land you're bringing to. Abay tabdun. That's it. I think we have the same verse. Abay tabdun. They call them makom kashavdu shama goyim. Ashratem yoshim otam et Elohim. Alurim aramim balpot etar kvet shonan. ונתעצתם את מסבחותם ושיברתם את מצבותם ובשם תגדיון ובאלתם משמע מן המקום הלו ואת תעשו כן לה' אלוקיכם כמקום אשר יבחר השם לשכן שמו שמה it's better than the rest of the theme it's the מקום אשר יבחר השם לשכן שמו שם so we see that Yoshiah was fulfilling the entire good bet because his goal is to build a מקום אשר יבחר השם לשכן שמו שם we use all the exact same verbs as said in Brian House Pasakeh, v'asmot ha-kohanim saraf al ha-mizbachotam, v'ater et Yehuda v'et Yerushalayim. Now, there's a famous pasak, if you know Melachim Aleph, when Yerubam built his Mizbeach. Remember that famous one? A Navi comes from Yehuda. And then he says, Mizbeach, he says, what's going to happen? It's when Yerubam's arms get stuck, because after they got still really long. He gives a prophecy and says, there's going to be a king in Yehuda who's going to come and destroy this Mizbech and Beit El. And what's his name going to be? It says there Yoshiel Shmo.
You referred to it in the previous session.
And the problem is going to be, what type of nevuah is that if he's basically telling him for the next 300 years you're clean? But it seems the opposite. The hope was that the king of Yehuda would do it very soon. It could be Asa, Yoshafat, but it never happened. That the name, the insert of the name Yoshiel is probably written, is inserted, when Sefer Melachim is published in the time of the Korban, after it was clear who did it. The Navi said a king from Yehuda is going to come and destroy this place. Who it's going to be, we don't know yet. But he's saying it's bound to happen. Later, when Sefer Melachim is written, we insert, his name was Yoshiel. That would be the more logical explanation of what happened. Now, one more line. What is what? Uvarei Menashe be'Efraim v'Shimon ad Naftali b'Chorvoteim saviv. When I take the Bishvotam of the Shulam Absilim Kitat Azek Koch Avanim Gidea b'Chol Eretz Yisrael b'Yashav Yerushalayim. Where does he get rid of all this idol worship? Not only in Beit El and Ephraim. Where does he go to? To what Shvatim? All the way to Naftali. You know where Naftali is? That's Tzvat. That's up in the Galil. And somehow the area of Shimon is back, wherever that's going to be. Where else did he get to? Ephraim and Ashen Ephraim, all the way to Naphtali. Weren't the 10 tribes exiled already? In the time of Hezekiah, they're gone. We're left with Yehuda. What can I infer from here that's happening in this time period already? That we've extended our conquest all the way to Naphtali. What's happened in the meantime? For political reasons, we've re-established ourselves as a nation, and we're sending, if the king is able to send an anti-Avodah Zarah mission, and it's all the way through Ephraim and Menashe, and all the way up to Naphtali, that's on the other side of Emek Yisrael, that's a great indicator that the country is growing again. But we call it Reshit Mechad Gulatim. Understand? The next event, which we're just going to read the first line of it, Pasek Chet, Ubishnat Shmonat Seh Lemochol, Etzaret Ha'aretz, Babayt, Shalach Et Shapan Ben Esayah V'chulei. That's the story when they find the Sefer Torah. I'm assuming you know that story. We don't have time to do that today. Maybe we'll do it in the next year, more in detail. But I'm assuming you know that story where, in the middle of cleaning, getting rid of the Avodah Zarah, he also sets a taksiv. He gets a budget to go and renovate the temple, which was really ruined in the time of Menashe. It's easier to destroy things than rebuild things. So first he destroys all the idol worship in year 12, 13, etc. In year 18, he sends money to the Beit HaMikdash in order to fund a renovation project. When you're renovating a Mikdash, what do you have to do? You have to clean up, get rid of the old stuff. And in the middle of cleaning up all the old stuff, what do they find? They find, I call it Judaica, they find the original Sefer Torah from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. My assumption there is, I think it's a logical one, that it wasn't that they don't have the Torah. It can't be that the Torah was lost. And it can't be that they make up a new one then. With all color covers of Wellenhausen. Remember the, you know the Bible critic approach? That's when they wrote Sefer Dvarim and they made things up. That whole approach is ridiculous. It doesn't fit into Tanakh either. What makes much more sense is because the original Sefer Torah was kept with the Aron, that's the halacha tells us to do, and that was kept in the Kodesh Kodeshim, because Menashe defiled the Mikdash on all this Avodah Zarah, what did the Kohanim do when Menashe began that policy? Before he came and took over, they hid everything in the Geniza. In the meantime, Menashe took over, ruined the place, and they hid it somewhere. And when all the Avodah Zarah came in the time of Menashe, they forgot where it was. It was hidden somewhere down in the basement somewhere. Maybe the person who hid it died or something like that. And no one knows where it was. And they kept it a big secret. And probably the person who kept it a secret died with the secret. So in the middle of the renovation, all of a sudden they find the Sefer Torah. And that's amazing. It's a big deal. That's a sign, if you want to compare it to something nowadays, the same year that they established the State of Israel, 1948, that's when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Give or take a couple months or a year. That was seen as a big event. Look, we rebuilt the State of Israel after 2,000 years. We had no sovereignty. We returned to sovereignty after 2,000 years. And what do we find? Ancient texts of Navi, 2,000 years old in Qumran. That's like, you know, that's a sign of something big is happening. That's talking to us. And in the same way, when they find the Sefer Torah in the time of Yoshiel, Yoshiel sees that as a sign from God, this is big, and he makes a big deal about it. So when he makes this big deal about it, he's going to try and use that as an impetus to get the people to do even better tshuva. That'll be the background we're going to see. Now, one last word of it. Induction is over. She's almost over. What year did Yirmiyahu begin his prophecies? Look at the first line of Sefer Yirmiyahu. It was Haftarah from the first of 3 weeks. The beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu. When does he begin? When did you begin a session? He begins his career in the 13th year of Yoshiel. Now, in the page I gave you over political of Yirmiyahu, she said for Yirmiyahu in politics and religion class. I'm leaving the politics out of here, that'll be the next year, because that takes the whole... Now we have to re-sentence Yirmiyahu for that. Okay, I'm just trying to set the background to the time period. In section A, I'm simply going over the years again of Yoshiel. He had 18 years. We're talking about Yirmiyahu gives the vote during 18 years of Yoshiel's reign. Yoshiel reigns for 31 years, but in year 12 of his reign, we begin the Asher Tshuva movement. That coincides with Yirmiyahu's career beginning. And based on the Sukkim and Divrei Hayamim, it's quite obvious that the Navi who is behind the Tshuva movement, who worked together like a team, with Yoshiel, with Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu and Yoshiel worked together like a team. He's the king. He's a political leader who's going to implement Yirmiyahu's policies. And that's why when Yoshiel dies, Yirmiyahu's popularity starts speaking like crazy. And people don't trust him anymore. In year 18, they renovate the temple. They find the Sefer Torah and they make a whole big new covenant. And then, Yoshiel's tragic death in Megiddo, that's what we're going to talk about now. And simply take a look back in as long as you're in Divrei Hayamim, look in Perek Lamed Aleph. We're just going to read the Rosh Pakim. If you have time, I'm not sure when the next year will be, but try to read the details for the next one.
Where are we reading?
In Perek Lamed
Aleph.
Of Divrei Hayamim. Go back to Pasuk Gimel and review. ובשמונה שנים למחול עודנו נער החל לדרוש לרי דוד אביב ובשתים עשרה שנה החל לפרק יהודה וירושלים מן הבמות לא רק להסביר בפור then in פסח חת בשנת שמונה עשרה למחול לתארת הארץ לבית שלך שפן בן עשיהו בן מעשיהו שר העיר בית יואח בן יואחז המזכיר להחזק את בית השם אלוהיו he sends an official delegation of the government to go and strengthen and renovate the temple ויבוא לחלקיהו כהן הגדול ויתנו את כסף המובא ואת השם אשר עשו הלווים שומרי הסף, etc. He gives the money and the funding to the priests who are in charge. And then talks about who they gave the money to. And then...
You say with Israel there means that there were...
Those left over from the ten tribes. Yeah, but Yehudah is a Shevet Yisrael. Remember, even after Churban Shomron, tons of people from the ten tribes came down to Yehudah. Now that they're growing again, a lot of them go back to their homeland.
Oh, so that was what's meant by some Miyam and Asher and
their friends. Miyam and they're going back already.
Been in Yehudah during the exile of Asher.
And now they're growing, the borders are going, they can go out back to their homeland. Okay. Then in Pasuk...
And then obviously Gnei Shimon went someplace north too, if they were referred to.
Yeah, it seems like Shimon's up north. It's always a puzzle, it's always a riddle where Shimon is. Then we have the story about them finding the Sefer Torah, and remember they bring it to Chodah, and what's Chodah tell them? Chodah tells them, remember, it's a lost cause, take a look in Pasuk Chavet. Perek Yukiel, Asher HaMelech, El Chodah Nevi'a Ishet Shalom, Ben Tokat, Ben Chasor, Shomer HaBegadim, V'yoshevet B'Yushalayim, B'Mishneh, V'ydaberu Elev Kazot, V'tomer Zahem, Kol Mar Hashem Al-Yisrog, Imru Le'ish Asher Shalach Et Kamilai, Kol Mar Hashem Yenivim Viral, Al-Makom Hazeh, V'yoshva Et Kol Ha'alot HaKtubot Al HaSefer Asher Kuru L'Pnei HaMelech. תחת אשר עזבוני ועשו לאלוהים אחרים למען החיצני בכל מצא ידיהם ותיתח חמתי במקום הזה ולא תכבה ואת מלך יהודה שולח אתכם לדרוש בשם כה תאמרו אליו כל מה השם ליצרו על דברים אשר שמעת יין רך לבבך ותיכנע לפני אלוהים בשמך הדבר ועל המקום הזה ועל יושביו ותיכנע לפני ותקרע את בגדיך ותת לפני גם אני שמעתי עם השם חודה has a terrible response even though you found the Sefer Torah and things were good guess what? In our lesson, what's he saying? The Gzar Din from the time of Ben Asher is not over. That's what I wanted to show you here. Look carefully. The words that she uses are all from the Gzar Din in the time of Ben Asher. The man hachiseni, kinimi viral amakom hazeh, just like we saw before. What Chod is telling the people, don't think that your tshuva is enough. You're dead in your night shab, and we're able to sell the Korban, but the Gzar Din of Korban is still there. See what happened? In the time of Menashe, there's a Gzar Din of Korban. What stops it from being complete? Menashe does Tshuva. Amon returns, and then what happens? The Gzar Din is going to apply again. Yoshio does tshuva, and what's he say? We're able to stall it again. And Chuda says, you know what? Yoshio can stall it. But what's bound to happen after Yoshio? They're going to sin again. And Chuda says, there's still something rotten in Yerushalayim. You still have a problem. And it's not over yet. How does Yoshio respond to this? He doesn't say, okay, fine. What's he do next? Skip to Perek Lamed Hey. I'm sorry, and back in Perek Lamed Aleph still. Pasuk Chaset. What's his answer to Chuda? וישלח המלך ויצוב את כל דגני יהודה וירושלים ויהיה המלך בית השם וכל איש יהודה ויושבי ירושלים והכהנים והלווים וכל עם מגדול ועד קטן ויקרא באוזניהם את כל דברי ספר הברית הנמצא בית השם ויעמוד המלך על עמדו ויכרות את הברית לפני השם ללכת אחרי השם לשמור את מצוותיו ועדותיו וחוקיו וכל לבבו וכל נפשו לעשות את דברי הברית הכתובים בספר הזה ויעמיד את כל הנמצא בירושלים ובנימין ויעשו יושבי ירושלים כברית אלוהים אלוהי אבותיהם יעשה ישראל כל הצבאות מכל הארצות אשר לבני ישראל, להביא את כל הנמצא בישראל לעבוד את השם אלוהיהם, כל ימיו לא סרו מאחורי השם אלוהי אבותיהם. Couldn't ask for anything better, right?
What is meant by say, for the Rebbe,
so he's going to read, yeah. In Perek Lamed Hey, he makes a big Pesach. And they say at the end, there was never a Pesach attached at the time of Shmuel. We don't have time to see him in detail. We'll take a quick look at it later on. The sick, what he does, he gathers the people together, and takes a deeper abrit, most likely from Sefer Dvarim. That's why there's so many parallels between what happens there and Sefer Yirmiyahu and Sefer Dvarim. There's so many textual parallels that the Bible could say had you written at the same time period. That's good old D. You know, you go to college and that stuff. So they miss the whole point. Yirmiyahu's writing in Lashon Hara of Sefer Dvarim because he's coming to try and stop what Sefer Dvarim is predicting. What's Sefer Dvarim predicting? If you establish the kingdom and it's not following God properly and you're not representing God the right way, I'm going to bring the tochacha and destroy you. So if you do proper tshuva, I'll bring you back. I can stop it. What Yirmiyahu is trying to do, he's trying to inspire the people to do better tshuva. Now this is going to be the background to understand Yirmiyahu. What we're going to see in Sefer Yirmiyahu is that the people think that they've done tshuva and the tshuva is enough. Yirmiyahu is telling them your tshuva is skin deep. You have to do much better tshuva. And now I want to make my main point, which will start the next set of shiurim. And that's sort of the difficult one. Take your sine wave. See the sine wave I gave out? You've used this many times. What I want you to do, see where it says Yoshiel? I want you to take it and fold it like this where it says Yoshiel. See that? Fold it like this? Right in the middle. Right in the middle of the hump of Yoshiel. And take a look. And I want to try to suggest how the people in the time of Yoshiel understand the situation. What I call Rashid Smith Abdul Hasenu. We're going to take a snapshot of what's happening at that time period. For the last 100 years, who's been the superpower? Ashur, big time. They've controlled us. What did they do 50 years back? They exiled all of our brethren in the northern tribes. Remember the time of Yoshiel. In the meantime, things got really bad. They took our king Menashe, sent him into exile. Finally, Baruch Hashem, God answered our prayers, and Ashur begins to crumble. The Iron Curtain falls, and Ashur's influence over the Middle East falls apart. Ninveh is going to fall. Later they're going to lose the big battle in Carchemish. It's all going to be between 640 and 610 BC. During one of the reasons why he takes Menashe and returns him is because he's weak. The reason why Melech Ashur brings Melech Manasseh back to Yerushalayim, he's hoping now that Yerushalayim can become an ally. Things are so bad at home. Manasseh takes advantage of that, and then Amon, and then Yoshiel, and they begin to spread their wings. What do we see already in the time of, by the time Yoshiel is king, we've returned almost to our full borders. We're going to see it's the last story about about Yoshiel. Remember how he dies? But take a look at the end of Perek Lamed Hey. After all this, after Yoshiel got the whole house ready, he did so good. Allah, Nechol Melech Mitzrayim, Pharaoh Nechol, comes up from Egypt. The king of Egypt now wants to get his hand in the Middle East. Who fell apart? Ashur fell apart. Who are the candidates to take over? Maybe Ashur can become strong again. Most likely Babel, they want to take over. Mitzrayim, they want a piece of the cake. And there's going to be a major battle in Carchemish. Everyone learns real history, learns about it.
Who fought whom in Carchemish?
In Carchemish, it's basically the Egyptians against the Babylonians. And Ashur now is helping Egypt against Babel. Now they're actually working together. But Babel, I think the battle's over in 609 or 606. On his way up, right? Yoshiyahu decides no trespassing. But Paro Nechol has no interest in fighting Yoshiyahu. I just want the way to go. I just want to pass through your land. That's why I gave you the map. In order to get from Egypt to Mesopotamia, you need to go through Megiddo. He marches up the coast and goes through Megiddo. What Bigshot Yoshiyahu decides to do? I can stop him. And listen how the Nabi describes what Melech Mitzrayim tells him. Pasach HaFalot. Vayishlach elav malachim lemor. Maliv alach melech Yehuda, lo alecha ta hayom, ki el abayt abit milchamti Elohim amar lavileni, chadar lecha me'elohim asher imi yashkitecha. This guy's with me. Don't get involved. Pasach HaBet. Velo yitziv Yoshiyahu pana bimeno. Yoshiyahu doesn't stop. Ki lelachem bo yitchapes. He got ready already to go to battle. Velo shama el divrei nechol mitzi Elohim. That's key. Okay. But the Nabi is saying, the words of Nechol is God telling him. Meaning the Nabi told him, Nevoah told him, don't fight as well. But he went anyhow. They go to attack in Megiddo. And he dies in Yerushalayim. That defeat is a disaster for Yehuda. Yeah. So Chazal asked that question. And he darshens the pasuk in Parsha B'chukotai. Take a look at Parsha B'chukotai, Perek Chavav in Vayikra. Okay. What does it say there? In B'chukotai Tenechu. Who can finish one minute? Zechev lo tavor bar tzechem. What's that mean? If you follow my laws and keep my ways, what's God promise?
No war.
I'll give you Yishmechem B'itam, B'tzitzen, Tzibula. Mishpat Yichar Ramin Aretz, Zechev lo tavor bar tzechem. There won't be war. If Chazal say that Yoshiel was Dorish Tapasek, what Yoshiel think? What time period are they in? Then it's Kufa Mashiachid. God's on their side. Nothing can go wrong. And therefore, the Pasek says we can't have war. And if Zulat Pasek, to show everyone we're following God, and God's with us, he goes to war. That's Chazal's way of saying Yoshiel thinks it's Kufa Mashiachid. Why does Yoshiel think he's right? It is a Kufa Mashiachid. They've returned to our borders, we've returned to sovereignty, the worst is over, the Xadim and Menashe is finished, it's gone, and now we're in Beit Sheni already. Yeah.
But how much time has elapsed since the full revelation that
18 years, from year 18 to year 31, 13 years. No more decades, it's short. And things keep getting better and better. Now, in the meantime, what did he do? He did this big Pesach, and there was never a Pesach like that since the time of Shmuel. The Beit Hamikdash is functioning beautifully. They're bringing korbanot, they're davening, and along comes this left-wing Yirmiyahu. That's going to be the fun part. Along comes Yirmiyahu and says, guess what? You're davening beautifully, and your tshuva way better than before. Avodah Zarah is gone. Now you get a new problem. Now, indeed, everyone thinks you're God's people. Before, you were worshipping other gods. Now you've aligned yourself, and you're pledging your allegiance to the God of Israel. And that's how people view you. But guess how you're acting back at home? Back at the marketplace, and back at home, and back in their internal politics, guess how they're behaving? Rotten. Just like the same problem Yeshayahu talked about in the time of Chizkiyahu. Even though Yirmiyahu is going to talk about it over and over again, you're davening to God and God's not going to listen. Now what's going to be important, we'll see also, that Yeshayahu got rid of all the idol worship, and Yirmiyahu comes and claims you're worshipping idols. And the people don't buy it. We'll have to explain why. But what Yirmiyahu calls idol worship, the people call Avodat Hashem. And that's why the people in the time period of Yirmiyahu, and that's why there's this feeling of Rashid Smechat Gulotim, that was my goal today, just to get that point across. That's why we have it like this. If you're living here, in the early years of Yoshiel, it's never been better. Ashur told me, I have every reason to think this is a Kavan Mashiachid. I'd say, how can we go to war? Might we get at every risk possible? Why? We're great. We're fine. God's on our side. We won so much so far. How could things go bad? All we do is fight more. And God's on our side. We can do anything, no matter how ridiculous. And he goes to battle against the superpower. And he thinks he's a real big shot. And he's sure that God's going to be on this side. What's the Yimel going to tell them? Your behavior is nowhere close enough to be so mechan, they're not going to help you. Because there's still something rotten in your Shalim. There's still something rotten in your behavior. And your Yimel's going to talk about Tzedek HaMishpat, like Yishael did, and the people don't want to hear about it. But they think they're fine. And we get to the classic problem that all the Divim have, where the people are religious, they're artists, and everything technical, but the core behavior is still rotten. And they think, and they think the main thing that God wants is the korbanot, and the services, and the prayer, and the tefillot, and they don't realize the need to fix their ways as well. To the point that Yirmiyahu, that's going to be the background to understanding Yirmiyahu, and what's going to, I'll just instill the beings in the beginning, then we have to see everything inside. When we learn Yirmiyahu, we have to see how he actually says all this. The people were saying, he's telling the people were saying, we're doing tshuva, and he says, you're right, doing a little bit of tshuva, but it's nowhere near enough. There'll be a whole set of prakim like that in the time of Yoshio. The disaster is going to be when Yoshio dies, and this puts a damper on the whole thing. They're going to blame Yirmiyahu, right? And then Yirmiyahu is going to go along and make a bigger prediction. He's going to come and say, because you've been so bad, guess what your punishment is for your bad behavior? What's the punishment for your lack of tzedek and mishpat? Kishilo yavaita, then this house will be destroyed unless you do tremendous tshuva. And he tells the people that because you've been so bad, the only way to save your soul and save your city is to put up a white flag to Bavel. And to give it to Bavel. If you give it to Bavel, you can stay in your land. Guess what they do to Yirmiyahu? They accuse him, you're being paid by the European Union, or by the Babylonian Union, to cause trouble. You're a Navi Sheker. It can't be what you're saying is true. They delegitimize him. They try to kill the guy. Everything he says, they make fun of him. They ridicule him, etc. No one accepts the word he's saying. All the other prophets, the established Kuna and the prophets, are saying things anti-Yirmiyahu. They're making up Nevuot just to counter him, because he's a big left winger. And it's that argument and that lack of understanding of Yirmiyahu that leads to the Chorban. The lack of willingness to listen to the Navi and get that message across. And that's a tragedy. That's the end of the title, which again, we have to prove. I just made a statement, sounds a little left wing for a change. But I want to show, again, I'm not saying today's the same thing, but I'm saying today there's a lot we can learn from Yirmiyahu to be careful. There's a yellow sign, not a red sign, but a yellow caution sign when you learn Yirmiyahu about being overconfident and what it means to have belief in God. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, if you look at the page, as long as they gave out the page, we'll need it next time. Look at the page they gave from the Sefer Yomah. When Chazal come and say the Bible was destroyed because of the big three. First it talks about Shiloh, why Shiloh was destroyed. Again, Shiloh was destroyed again for bad Bnei Eli Machaberot behavior. Remember, Gilui Arelt, if you don't catch it, but if you look carefully, Bnei Eli, what they did to the women, remember, and the corruption, and how they talked to the people. If you don't catch it, but the people, all they cared about was the money from the Karbonot and the food. They didn't do their Avodah properly. But then, farther down, which is Mikdash Rishon Bnei, Macharav Bnei Gimel Devarim, Shoyusham, see in the middle? Avodah Zarah Gilui Shvichu Damim. Avodah Zarah Dikhtiv, Yishael Perach Havchet. When's that? Yishael Perach Havchet is the time of Shvichiyo. Gilui Arelt Dikhtiv, Yishael Perach Gimel, Yanki Gabol Benot Zion. That's even the time of Uziel. But that's for sure, that's before Menashe. And then finally, Shvichu Damim Dikhtiv, Begam Dan Naki Shabach Menashe Bemol, Ashmidet Yushan, that's the part that we read before. But the Gzar Din of Korban on the big three is all up until Menashe, and not post Menashe. That's what people don't realize. The Gzar Din of Korban of Rishon is in the time of Menashe. It's decided. What can stop it? We can stall it. What would be able to undo it? Major tshuva. I need to uproot the core problem. What God's going to say is, you keep on doing tshuva and it's skin deep. In a second, I'm nice to you. What's going to happen? You're going to go back. Just like Menashe went back. Just like Amon went back the wrong way. Just like Joachim's going to go back the wrong way. God says, what's the point? Every time I help you a little bit, you go back to your old ways again. And the only way you're going to learn is you're going to learn I need to do something drastic. It's got to get worse before it gets better. And God says, I can't keep on using Midot HaRachamim because it's not getting us anywhere. And God's got to do a major operation and send us into exile to fix it the hard way. He gives an option that we could have learned at home. We'll see that in Yirmiyahu. But the people don't get that message and they get exiled instead. So that's going to be the background for a question.
Yeah,
Yeah, so there's Chazal were bothered by this. How is it they did tshuva, and the Navi still claimed to doing Avodah Zarah? So it said when Yoshio went around and sent shlichim, we didn't read those details. Yoshio sent shlichim to clean up Knesset, Yerushalayim, the whole country. So Chazal said they went door to door checking for Avodah Zarah, and they checked every house was clean, because what do the people do? They put the TV on behind the door. But when you open up the door, there was nothing there. Why? Because Avodah Zarah was on the inside of the door. As soon as you close the door, the TV's back on again. What are they saying there? I don't think that's not an historical midrash. The official policy was no more Avodah Zarah. It's just like, you have a lot of, I'll be mean for a minute. You have communities where say, you can't accept our school if you have a TV in the house. So what do people do? What? They hide it, they lie, they teach the kids different things. Lying is not a problem. That's like, for sure we have a TV. But officially we don't have a TV. So the official word on the street is no one has a TV. And no one does officially. In every single form that they sign, we don't have a television. But they still send their kids because they have to get Jewish schooling. And especially the girls, otherwise they won't get a shidduch, they don't get accepted. You follow? And therefore you have a whole type of society where the main thing is the chitzoniyut and not the pnimiyut. And it's definitely not a society that other nations come and look at and say, well, this is a nation representing God. This nation has values that we look up to and we come in from. And that's what the Zim come and yell, don't talk about God all the time when your behavior is so rotten inside. So that's going to be a pattern that's going to repeat itself. Yoshio himself is a tremendous tzaddik, but the people aren't with the king. The people aren't there. And it's an official policy that he tries to get through, but the education's not strong enough. That's where Yirmiyahu fell, yeah.
So according to that, it's not just that the Shuvah that they did was only in Adam Lamakom and not in Adam Lamakom. But even if in Adam Lamakom was not...
Wasn't full. It was Kitsuni and Apsimi. What we're going to see is, the main movement is nationalism. There's tremendous nationalism in the time of Yoshio. There's a return to Jewish... If you want to compare it today, again, only for sake of comparison, I can have a group of people who are totally Chiloni, but are very much intent that we have to go up to Har Habayit and rebuild the temple. For national reasons, not for religious reasons. The argument today over can you go up to Har Habayit or not is behind the idea, you'll see most of the people behind the Aliyah to Har Habayit movement, which I'm one of them, right, is more nationalistic than it's religious. The people motivated to do it just so happen to be people from the national camp. It just happens that people from the religious camp stay still also. That's an indicator that there's something nationalistic about it and not just a tremendous kiyah at going to serve God. It's something cool, it's neat, it's national, hey, you know, we own it there, get the Arabs off of there. And when nationalism takes over, takes on these religious values, oh, now we have to have Jewish holidays now, and when the reason for the return to the religion is for national motivation and political motivation, not so much out of a real feeling and understanding that we're a nation representing God and have responsibilities on our shoulders, etc., right? That's where, on an outside way, and if it's only way people can be following God, but to me, it's not reflective in their behavior, and that's what the Zim come and fight. But the people don't buy the message. I can bring 1,000 examples from today, but I want to finish up. But you know, again, I'm not saying today's exactly the same. I'm saying we can live in Yirmiyahu about a caution light you have to be careful of. So let me summarize. What I try to show you today is the main goal was to get across and try to show the psukim that the early years of Yoshiel, there's a feeling of Rashid Mechad Gilotenu. The worst is over. Everyone knows it was a Jargin of Churban in the time of Menasheh. It's possible to view that we've been there, done it. Over. Menasheh went to Galut, the Mikdash was destroyed. We paid our price. Now we're returning, things are better now. The tshuva that Yoshiel does, again, as a filling of, we're by chaining. The Nebot and the Chamar are being fulfilled. And therefore, the overall feeling of this is the beginning of something good and beautiful, like over Shitzim Chagolotenu, this is the beginning of Beit Sheni, Beit Rishon is over, the Gzadim and Menashe is over, and that's supported by when Yoshio does his big tshuva, and does the Korban Pesach, and makes a new breed, everyone's sure we're on the right path. Now, all these things we'll see inside in Yirmiyahu, we have to see them inside. There's tons of Makoros inside Yirmiyahu, but this is the background to understand. When that message is misunderstood, the overconfidence that comes with this feeling that it can't go bad again, the worst is over, the overconfidence in the people and the thinking that we're fine and nothing can go wrong again, we'll see how that leads step by step to the Korban itself. Because then Yirmiyahu is misunderstood, you know, and they, instead of dealing with the issues, they deal with the person, which is classic, they want to kill the guy and everything. Anything Yirmiyahu says, no one's going to accept because of the political implications of what he's saying. And that's what we call, that's the title of when politics and the religion clash, and that's going to ultimately bring Korban HaBayit Rishon. So then, the rest of the proof, the call of Tanisha was simply to get that a snapshot of the end of Menashe, of Tanter of Menashe, early Yoshiel, to appreciate why it's Rishis Mikhail Gautendu, to prove how the country is growing from sources. We say how strong, the fact that you can go to war in the Gido against a superpower. We find them in Naphtali. Ephraim and Menashe is resettled. And we know from outside sources that Ashur has fallen. So there's a tremendous feeling of nationalism. That nationalism takes on a religious town as well. But it's going to end up with too much confidence in themselves and not enough true tshuva, and that's what Yirmiyahu has to fight. And that's going to be, that's why his life is such a tragedy. Yeah? But that's why I try to show you, if the Nevi'im, there's a judging of Korban HaBayit Rishon, the B'nei Menashe. I can view that it's over. And there's also the vote of Yishayahu and Micha and Hosea of return. So the people feel that the worst is over and they've returned. I'm just using the Munachim of Bayit Sheni from our jargon. I don't think they're calling it Bayit Sheni, but they can view it that the worst is over and now we started anew. So that Gzadin is over, of Menashe is over. And that's why when Chura comes and tells them that Gzadin isn't over yet, she's making a powerful point. She shocks them. Now, and when we learn that inside, I want to show you that I think it's a setup. She's playing the devil's advocate. Remember, what did Chazal say? Someone asked the question, why did they go to Yirmiyahu? Why did they go to Chulda? They said, where was Yirmiyahu? He was away, returning the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes are coming back. We can see that in Yirmiyahu. There's Psukim in Yirmiyahu. The 10 tribes are returning. What's that a sign of? Rashid Simchad Golotayno. Yeah. So I'm using the word by Shani just as a, just as for the imagery. Yeah.
Think about Bayit Rishon Bayit Sheni having sovereignty. So when Ashur is the kingdom, no sovereignty, Ahaz,
they're under Ashur. Now Ashur is not there anymore. Shalal is the beginning of independence. You think about Bayit Rishon, about thinking about the temple.
Yeah.
Independence
is already, so this is
Bayit Sheni,
there is new
defendant. Yeah. There's such a feeling of nationalism and growth. This is it. And no one wants to hear bad predictions. Again, we have seen so much in Yirmiyahu inside. I simply want to get one unit across today, the idea of what I call Rishi Tzimitha Golotino, and that's how this page helps. Now, if someone predicts a fall here, now Yirmiyahu is saying it has to fall. But Yirmiyahu and Chuldan, all of them are saying, it can fall. Okay? If what? If you don't do proper tshuva. We're not saying it will just be destroyed. Yirmiyahu, to the very end, says you can stop the Korban, and stop the Galut, if you do proper tshuva, if you do Tzedek HaMishpat. That's what we see all through Yirmiyahu. This is the background to appreciate this in the book. If you don't have this background, you can't begin to appreciate what happens in the book of Yirmiyahu. So right in our series, we're finishing up Melachim, and I guess we're going to go to Yirmiyahu from there. So that's why I'm going to do this as a building block for the next time. Okay, so we'll stop here and continue.
Are you doing again?
Yeah. Yoshiel, I think everything he could have done. I'm not saying Yoshiel is great, but the people aren't with him.
Next day, I'm going to see you.